Okay, good morning. We are up to Perek Yudches, Pasik Tes Vav. Okay, we are continuing. Bildad Hashuchi is responding to Eoif, right? This is not, we already had a response from Eliphaz. We had a second response from Bildad, and he's basically telling Eoif. We learned last week the summary at the end of the parak, which pretty much describes the essence of Bildad's response. He says to Eoif that how can you say that there's no such thing as Rasha v'toivloi? How can you say that tzaddik v'ra'lo Rasha v'toivloi? The truth is, the Rasha does not have good. The Rasha will ultimately be destroyed. And according to many Mefarshim, he's really referring to Eoif. All of these very harsh descriptions of the Rasha and what's going to happen to the Rasha at the end, his utter destruction, obliteration, is a reference to Eoif. He's hinting, intimating that Eoif himself is a very wicked man. And we are in the middle of describing the process of death. What happens to a Rasha? First, we learned all these different expressions of being caught, how the Rasha does himself, and he's caught in his own evil. He does himself. And we learned last week all the different types of traps. There's a reshes, there's a sevacha, a pach, there is ropes, all different types of traps. And the one who set the traps is the Rasha himself. He set these traps for other people to cause them to stumble. And here he stumbles, he's caught in his own trap. And then he dies. And we learned these mystical things last week that the Malach HaMavis, two different titles for the Malach HaMavis. There's the Bechor Mavis and there's the Melech Bilahos. The Bechor and the Melech. I saw somewhere that the Bechor really is the representative. That Bechor means that when a person is about to die, the Malach HaMavis sends his agent, and then the agent brings the neshama to the king, to the Malach HaMavis himself. The Malach HaMavis has an office. And he has an office, they have special torture chambers. So the Malach the Sar HaMavis, the king of the Mavis, is busy with torturing people. He doesn't have time to go out and recruit. He hires a special division. And the Malach HaMavis' office is a special division of marketing recruitment. They make their rounds. Like today, all the Rosh Yeshivas they have. I don't mean to compare Chas V'Shalom one to the other. But they have a department of recruitment to seek out. So the one that seeks out is the Bechor Mavis. That's a very good title for a recruitment department called Bechor Mavis, and the actual department where they deal with those neshamas that have been lured in is called the Melech Balahos, the King of Terror. Okay, now in Pasuk 10, now we also learned it alluded to the fact that this refers to the Tsar, that the Almana, when a person dies, there's collateral damage. The children suffer and the widow suffers. Almana, the suffering for an almana, in fact, Chazal's eyes is the worst. It's an incredible tsar. I remember they say about the Gra. The Gra, there's a story, I probably told you the story. The Gra's mother once asked the Gra towards the end of her life that she said to her son, "What should I do? I'm getting old. I feel like I'm losing it. I'm going to die. When I come to Shemayim, what should my defense? What should I say? What should I do in order to survive the Yom Hadin?" So now the Gra, the Gra's mother. This is the Gra's mother. Now the Gra, can you imagine the Gra? We can't even begin to be masking the greatness of the Gra. So her, you would say, "Ma, don't worry, you got me. Just say, you got a son. Look at this, I'm the mother of the God." The mother, she must have done something right to have such a son, a Gon Shabagonim. So the Gra said to his mother, "All you have to do is say in Shemayim, I was an almana my whole life." I don't know the details, but it seems that the Gra's father died when he was very young, and his mother was an almana for a good portion of her adult life. And he said to his mother, "All you have to say is, I was an almana." So his mother persisted. "But let's say they give me a hard time. We could just say, I was an almana." Can you plead yasam? It doesn't say that. I don't have a story to that effect. But it's from this story, at least you can learn the sensitivity a person has to have towards an almana. It's serious business. It's a very serious thing. The sensitivity person has to have to an almana. And here in these psukim, it's describing the tsar, that the dead, that the almana of even a rasha, not dealing with the tsar, dealing with the rasha. Some say this alludes to Eve himself, the tsar that his wife will have. So Pasuk Yudal, just to run back.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a rasha in her own right.
Exactly, of course not. Absolutely not. But the fact is that a person, a woman that does not have the support of a husband, she is in a very frail, delicate...
But she shouldn't be held responsible for his riches.
No, not... Well, it depends. Every situation is different. You can't generalize. Sometimes a wife has a very large part in the riches, the wickedness of a husband. Sometimes the wife has nothing to do with it. In fact, she tries very hard to persuade the husband not to be a rasha. Okay, so we don't know, but over here in this pasuk, it says, "You know this for the Yinah's sake." May ahalom miftacho. So this pasuk says that his wife will lose her support. As we learned, it's very difficult. The way this pasuk is constructed, the grammatical construction of this pasuk is difficult, but it basically means that his wife will be cut off from her security. The tent here refers to the wife. Her security will be cut off. And she will escort her husband to death. Now, pasuk tells us we're up to tishkon beholo mibli lo. She will then live. Tishkon means she. Tishkon is loshon in the cave of the tough. Doesn't say yishkon. Yishkon is loshon zohar. Tishkon is loshon nekeva. She the almana.
Could also mean you will.
No, here I think it means here she. Even look at the targum tishrei intisei the wife. It's loshon nekeva. It's referring to the wife, the woman, the wife. The wife will live be'oholo in his tent, in his home, miblilo without her husband. The wife, the rasha, has died. He has left over an almana, and she is now dwelling in his tent, miblilo, without the benefit of a husband. Yizore al naveu gofris, and ultimately they will scatter upon navehu, upon his abode, meaning upon his home. Gophris means sulfur. The day will come when the home where they lived in will be utterly destroyed.
So what? Novehu, the same thing as Baha'u'llah?
No, Novehu is an Ohel. Novehu is a synonym for Oholo.
So it's the same thing.
Al Novehu means upon his tent. They will pour, people will eventually, no one's going to, there will be no one to pay the rent, and they will evict the almana, and the home will be destroyed. It will be seized by some builder to build some shopping center, and the demolition crew will come and wipe out this place, which used to belong to this individual. So the Tishkon, she will dwell behalo in his tent mibli lo, without the benefit of a husband, yizore al novehu, and someone, yizore, that's not telling us who, someone will ultimately come and sprinkle upon novehu, upon his abode, his tent, gofris is sulfur, which is a destructive agent to destroy their home. Let's look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Tezvav. Tishkon, he tishkon behalo mibli lo, she will dwell in his tent without him, he will die, ve'enenu, and he no longer exists, uv'soif techorav naveyu, and the end will be that his home will be destroyed, ki'ilu pozro lov gafri. So it's a metaphor. It's as if once the husband is no longer home, the home will be destroyed. It's as if someone came along and sprinkled upon the home sulfur, explosives. Gofris, boara, burning sulfur to destroy the home. Rashi, pasuk tezav tishkon beholo almana, the widow will live in the home, the widow, miblilo, without the benefit of a husband. Shelo tehei shelo, it will not be, the home will no longer be the property of the husband, because shaharei meis, he died. V'sof yizore al naveu gofris, the end will be, since there is no husband, there is no support, the home will be completely destroyed, there will be no memory of this man. As the pasuk now continue to describe in more detail, pasuk tazayin, mitacha sharashav yivashu, from beneath this rasha who has died, not only is he gone, but everything that he was associated with will also can be obliterated from the earth. There will be absolutely no zecher of this person forever. Mitachas, from beneath him, sharoshav yivashu, his roots will dry up, which we'll see in a moment, refers to his children. The Rasha's children will cease to exist. Umimahal, and from above, Yimal will wither kitziro, his harvest. We're comparing a person to a tree. A tree has roots and has branches, has produce. So the roots from below will dry up, there will be no future, and the branches from above will wither. Pasuk Tezayin in the Mitzudos David, Mitachas, Hasharoshim, Hasher Mitachas, from beneath, Nisyavshu, will dry up. Ve'he'onon, Asher Mimal Yikores. I'm not exactly sure why the Mitzudah says that the clouds. I really don't know what this means. Why it says the pasuk Kitsi Umimal, from above, Yimal Kitsiro. Kitsiro means the harvest. And the Mitzudah Tzion says Anofo. It means a branch. I'm not exactly sure why in the Mitzudos David he inserts the word Ve'he'onon, which seemingly means the cloud which resides above will be cut off, seemingly referring to the onof, the he'onof. Maybe there's a tosad fus, maybe it's the, okay, I'm not sure how you would go so far, two different letters, the onof, instead of the, maybe it's not a nun, the ha'onof, it should not be a nun, maybe it should be a pei, the ha'onof asher mimal. Because I don't understand why the Mitzvah Stavra would say Anon, a cloud. If you just change the Nun to a Pei.
No clouds, there's no rain. If there's no rain, there's no problems.
But it doesn't say in the Pasuk. Right, but it doesn't say in the Pasuk. So I don't know. Maybe he meant the Anof. Instead of the Nun, it should be a Pei. The Anof, Asher Mimal Yikores, will be cut off. Okay, Pasuk Rashi, Pasuk Tezayin. No, Rashi. Pasuk Yidchas. Pasuk Yidzayin. Now we're continuing to describe what exactly is going to happen to the Rasha. Zichro Avad Mineretz, the remembrance of the Rasha has been lost, will be lost. No one will ever remember this person existed. V'lo shem lo al pnei chutz, he will have no reputation, he will not have a name out there in the street. Rashi, Pasuk Gizan, Zichro, Yifarish Amiko Shalofanav, this Pasuk Gizan is explained in the previous Pasuk. Loimar, it means to say, Zichro Yi Avad Mineretz, the remembrance of this evil name will be lost from the earth. Kilo Yishaer mi mibonav, none of his children will remain alive. Uvavur zeh, and because his children will die, lo yeh lo shame, he'll have no reputation. Al pnei chutzo saolam, throughout the world, ki yishkach shemo, his name will be forgotten.
He won't have the shame rot.
So you're saying it is a benefit. No, so you're saying you're asking a very good question. That Rishem Risham Yirkov. It's not minus five. That's a very interesting point. Okay, I don't know the answer. It's a good point. Why don't we say, talk about, I don't know. Zichra min eretz v'lo shem lo al pnei chutz. Okay, good point. I don't know. Let's see, Pasuk Yudches. Yehetfu me'or el choshech. He'll be pushed. This Rasha, his name, his reputation will be pushed from or to darkness. Where he used to sit in the limelight, he'll now go into darkness. And he will be pushed off the face of the earth. Tevel means the earth, the world. And yiniduhu means he will be pushed away. Pasuk Yichas Mitzudos. Yeh yedfuhu hatzaros haba'os olav, the tzaros that will come upon him. Yehedfu oso me'or ha'olam, will push him from the light of the world, el cheshkas hakever, into the darkness of the grave. Umeitevel min ha'olam yinidu oso, he'll be pushed v'chofel hadava b'miloy shaynas. Rashi, yehedfuhu, yeah?
Instead of push,
shunned.
Shunned?
Nidui. Nidui means shunned.
The placement of the state of
Nidui
means you are shunned by everyone.
Okay. Alright, that's an idea. Okay, shunned. The Mitzudos Sion says, Inyin Techia Uchesisha, pushing and crushing. Kmo El Al Yitfen, don't push him. Yiniduhu Meloshim Nedida, to move away. So the first word, Yedfu, at least according to the Mitzudos, means to be pushed. And the second word, Yiniduhu, Nedida means to wander. So when a person is shunned, he's excommunicated. That's really what he is. He has to wander from place to place. So he really wanted the same thing.
Because he's not
When a person is in nidui, he's excommunicated. No one is allowed to have anything to do with him, so he has to be pushed away. So what does it mean when he's shunned? He's pushed away. No one is allowed to have anything with him. He has to go and travel to a new city, to a new location, and start all over again, because in this society, he's banned.
Pasuk, if you look in Targum, it says
Yiglune Golos, exile. Right, okay, exile, and that's what the Mitzvah also says. It means Nadida Golos. Okay. So that's what happens to this Rosh. That Pasuk Yitesh is a scary Pasuk. Loi Nin Lo, Veloi Nechad Biamo. He will not have any children or grandchildren. Nin here means also. There are different interpretations of what Nin and Nechad. When we learned Daniel, so we discussed this. There are different interpretations. If Nin means a grandchild, and then Nechad would mean a great grandchild. Or Nin. Okay, but over here, the way the Mitzvahs and Rashi learn, Nin is a child, a son, and a Neched is a grandchild. Today in modern Hebrew, what's a grandchild? A Neched. Okay, so...
Nin is a great-grandchild.
Nin is a great-grandchild? Okay, so it's reversed. Interesting, okay. Alright, so modern Hebrew is not always the same as a biblical Hebrew. Even the way words are used in Chumash are not the same way words are used in Nevi'im and Kesuvim. Each Mitzvah of Torah has its own vocabulary. So similarly here, Nin is a son, and Neched is a grandchild. That's Bam V'lo'in Sarid Bim Gurav, and will be no remnant in his dwelling place, in his community. So here we have three different expressions. Lo, Amo, and Migurav, meaning himself, his nation, and his Migurav, his society, his country, his community. Let's take a look at the Pasuk in Mitzudos. Lo Nin, Lo Yisho, Lo Besuch Amo. They will not remain to him. He doesn't break up this difference of Lo, Amo. He puts the two together in the Mitzudos. Lo and Amo. Besuch Amo, Lo Nin, Velo Nechet. Okay, he doesn't translate the words. He assumes we know what they mean. Rashi says, see Rashi in a moment. Velo Yisho, Mi Mehem, Nimokam, Shohoyo, Gorsham. Nugurav means the place where he once lived. Ki Mehem, Yomusu. His children will die. O Mehem, Yelchul Shavi, El Amacher. And some of them will die, some of them will go into exile to another nation. It's as good as if they died. Rashi, Pasik Yotes, says Neched is Ben Haben. He does not translate Nin. The Targum, Pasik Yotes, Loi Bir. Bir is a son.
But if you're going in order, and Neched is the grandson.
Nah, so who says we're going in order? Maybe we're going backwards. He might have any grandchildren, not any children. Okay, the assumption is we're going in order. Here the Mitzudos says Bir is a son, like Bir Levloi Bir Bira Biame.
Children, by definition, you want to be
right. Exactly.
Like they say about grandfathers, they say, I love my grandchildren so much, had I known I would love them so much, I would have had them first, before my children. So, what's Nachas? And so, you know the grandfather, what's Nachas? When the grandchildren come to visit, that's Nachas. And when they leave, we leave.
Well, that's the other, what is the definition of a grandchild?
Yeah.
Genius being raised by tomorrow.
A genius being
raised by tomorrow.
By two morons. Parents. Wow. Whew. Okay. Let's go further. Pasuk, so the Lisa Targum seems to say that Nin is a beer. Beer means a son. Not the son of a son. Any dweller in his community. All right. Pasuk, any leftover, any remnant of his family in his Megurav. Pasukov. Now here's an interesting pasuk. Pasukov. Al Yomo Noshamu Acharonim Vekadmoinim Ochazu Soar. Now first we're going to take the word Soar, and we're going to assume there's a Samach. So if when there's a Samach, it means a storm, turmoil. So when we say little church on outside, when it says over here for a razor, okay, so Noshamu Acharonim. Now Al Yomo means in his prime. Al Yomo means when historians study his day, look back. When did Eov live? When did they take a person? When did he live? This person, he lived in this generation and this year. Al Yomo, when the people focus on his day, on his time, and they discover what happened to him. They learn, wow, look at this person. He was so successful. He was so great. And look how far he has fallen. Noshamu. They will be astounded. They will be bewildered. They will be in a state of shock. Acharonim, those who come later. People who come at later generations and look back and study what happened to the person when he was in his prime, they will be in shock. The kadmoinim, the early people, the kadmoinim, and people that are living together in the generation of this evil man, of this person, ochazu, when they hear, when they get a report, they wake up in the morning and they hear on the radio or they read online that this person, this person who is known to be the wealthiest and the most successful person in the world, how he has fallen, how he is extremely sick and he's in pain and he's lost everything, they will be seized with turmoil, with terror. Soar with the samach, they're overcome with fear and pain and bewilderment. How could such a thing happen to such a successful person? That's the gist of the pasuk according to the interpretation of Rashi and the Mitzudos. Let's see in Sapasikhov al Yamo, al Mikre Yoimai, on the occurrence of his day. So I told you Yom, I really told you the way Rav Schwab translates it. Rav Schwab translates with Yom, not Mikra, what happened to him on that fateful day, 9/11. On the world, 9/11, that was a Mikra Yoima. It was a day, and there was a Mikra, there was an event, when the historians will look back at that fateful day, 9/11, the Mikra Yoima, they're going to be astonished. Wow, how could such a thing have happened? So according to the Mitzudos, he's adding in a complete word into the pasuk. The word Mikra does not say that in the pasuk. All it says in the pasuk is Al Yomo, concerning his day. Well, what day? Mitzudos. The tragedy that occurred on that day. The day that Eoyev, this, according to Bilda, this evil person, this Rasha, lost it all. On that day when his children died, when he lost his wealth, when he was diagnosed with this very rare and bizarre disease, they're going, Noshamu Acharonim. Rav Schwab does not interpret the pasuk in that method. Rav Schwab says, Yomo means, it means his prime. It means they'll look back, Yomo, the good old days. They'll take this Eoyev, and they'll look back, not when he suffered, but when things were good, things were going his way. And then they'll study, wow, what happened to such a person? That person that was in the limelight, look at him now. What happened to him in hindsight? Nothing. He lost it all. They will be astonished. So it doesn't necessarily mean, according to Rav Schwab, Mikuya, but it means they'll look at the good days, they'll contrast it with the bad days, and then they will be noshamu, they will be bewildered. But now, Mitzudas al Miku Yomo, Yitmohu Aho Acharonim, Horoim who witnessed Mapoloso, his fall. Viha Kadmoinim, people that lived at the same time, not the later historians who were not born during that era, but rather the Kadmoinim, the early people, who Asher Ru'uhu Od Birum Hatzlochoso, who actually witnessed him during the time of his success, his contemporaries, Hine Ata Yechordu Me'od, they'll be terrified. The Yochzom Reses, they'll be overtaken with fear, Kimo Meruach, so just like when there's a tornado, there's a hurricane, there's some type of natural disaster, person is frightened, he's shaken up, that's how they'll be shaken up when they hear what has happened to this person, Eof. Now, Rav Schwab has another very interesting interpretation. He says there is acharonim and kadmoinim. And he says acharonim refers to people that live in the west. And the kadmoinim is kedem, is the east. So it basically means the whole, not according to Rashi, according to Mitzudos, it's reference to time. The people who lived later generations and the people that lived in the early generations. The other interpretation is place, space. Eov, let's assume, is living in Eretz Yisrael. So people that live acharonim, meaning on the other side, the Westerners, people living in Europe, people living in America, people living in Hawaii. I don't know how far you want to go.
Western Africa.
How far you want to go? People living in the West, when they hear, oh, what happened to Eof? Noshamu. The Kadmoinim, the Orientals. China. Okay? the Middle East keep on going. All the European countries, well, not the, I'm sorry, the Orientals, the Asians, the Orientals, when they hear, oh, what happened? So it's a matter of space. He even goes so far to say, this is shocking what he says. He says that, how do you say Europe in Yiddish? Europa. He somehow says that Europa. I don't get this. It comes from, he says, Orif, the Marov, Arov.
Really?
Arov is west.
The spelling is not with an
ayin. I don't know. It's a phonetics. The phonetic. He says. You agree with what it says on this pasuk here that Europa somehow phonetically is related to the west. No, don't go for this.
No.
Okay.
They try.
It's forced. Okay. All right. I'm just presenting what he says. I hear. But there are two parts to the world. Okay, assume the Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the world. There is the west and the east, and that's another very interesting approach to translate this pasuk. It does not mean time; it means in place. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi over here has a deek on the word sar. Rashi is very obsessed that the word sar here means it means a storm. Some want to say that sar means here, sahar, here, but here would then be spelled with a patach, sa'ar. I mean, the letter is the right letter. It's a sin, not a samach. But the grammar is off on two accounts. Number one, it should be sa'ar. It's not the accent. If you notice, there's a neseg underneath the sin. The word sa'ar, there is no accent. The accent is on the ayin, not on the sin, if I'm not mistaken. That's the problem, that's why it can't be. That's why Rashi is going to reject this interpretation. But if you want to say that being that there is a sin and there is not a samach, so the word has to relate to here, so then what would the interpretation of the pasuk be? It means they're here stood on edge. When a person is terrified, right, if you have your hair no longer lies flat on your head, when your skin gets tense, it causes your hair to stand on edge.
Am I missing something? If the word were with a solid, the accent would be in the same place.
The accent would be in the proper place. If it would be with a sin, then the accent is in the wrong place. We'll read the Rashi in one moment. But the point I want to make, let's first get the interpretation. We have here a problem. We have here, this is not the first time we had this word in this fashion in the Sefer. The word sin, ayin, reish, normally in our mind, in our common usage, means here. And the way it's pronounced is sa'ar.
Sa'ar.
Se'or. Sarah is east. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm not sure. The snuchas are okay. How do you say it again?
Say or.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
say or. Okay. Say or. So the word. If what would the interpretation of the pasuk then be? It would be the same thing. Ochazu say or would mean the same thing. Is that the here? That it means that a person is terrified. He's terrified. And his hears have seized him. It's a metaphor. It means that his hears are standing on edge because he's in a state of terror. And Rashi says that's not the pshat. Good try. It's a good try. It's a good homiletic interpretation. But it's not the pshat, because if the word really is here and not a samach, a storm, then the pronunciation should be sa'ar, not so'ar. And even though you'll say to me, but it's the end of the pasuk, and we have end of the pasuk very often, more than not, it changes from a patach to a komatz, mitzrayim, mitzroyim, ephraim, ephroim, any esnachta, you have many, many examples. That's not an absolute rule. Okay, he's not Ramayevsky, he's not here, but that's the Balkore. That's not an absolute rule. There are just as many exceptions to the rule as the rule itself. That just because it's the end of the pasuk does not always mean that we change it to a komatz instead of a patach. So he's saying here is one of the exceptions. It really would mean here.
How does he know the pronunciation?
What? He had a Masorah. So the Gemara says the Megillah, the Nekudos were given. So there was a tradition, and Echlam was Halacha and Moshe Sinai. Okay, that's the big debate today. With the Aleppo Codex, and there are certain things that are lost from us. Do we really have an accurate tradition, Mesorah. But Rashi at least he had a Mesorah. Hey, what does it say? So Inyan Sarah Vapachad Bechilov Samach Vashin Vashim Vashim. What does it say here? V'simonim B'mesorah Abbas Oysach. He's just giving examples. Okay, but let's see Rashi inside. Rashi Pasik Chaf Noshamu Acharoinim Tomohu. They are astonished B'shoim'om Al-Id Asherbola, when they hear the tragedy that has come upon. By the way, we learned last week the word aid. Aid, we translate as tragedy. Where does it come from? The aid Yala Minor. It's a cloud. What is a cloud? Darkness. It obscures. When a person, Rachman, let's learn something, a tragedy, he does lack. It's a matter of lack. I don't understand this. How can such a thing happen? You're at loss. So here it means, we hear about this tragedy, Asherbola, they're in a state of shock. Ochazu So lo yitochein. It's a very powerful word. It can't be lios migizras seor or of here shein tam, because the accent of the word seor is not shein tam seor b'shin ela ba'ayin. It has to be, if it really would refer to here, then the accent would not be underneath the sin, it would be underneath the ayin. Furthermore, the eino, and don't go tell me, oh, that's not a kasha, because we have to change it from sahar to soar, it's a soif pasuk, and in Mela, once you change to a soif pasuk, we have to put the accent underneath the sin. No, don't give me diktok, don't shlug me up with diktok, there's an exception. The eino nepach lekomatz be'esnachta v'soif pasuk. Okay, what is Lamed Shin? Lamed Shin. I didn't have it in my other. I didn't have those letters in my other edition of this. I don't know what it stands for. What does Lamed Shin stand for? Lashon Sheni. I don't know. Okay. So this is what he says over here.
Of course, about the accent. For example, if it were the word Sha'ar.
Yeah.
The accent
Se'or
differentiated from Se'or, even as the same letters.
Okay, but in this kind of Rashi is convinced that it cannot possibly mean the word here, it has to mean a storm, and the proof is that it's with the komatz, and the accent is underneath the sin and not under the ayin.
That's a stronger proof.
And that is his raya. Okay, pasuk chafalf. Ach eile mishkinos avol. These tragedies only come upon. He's coming really to wind down. This is the last pasuk of the parak where Bildad says to Iyof, all these terrible tragedies only come upon Rishon. What is your argument, Iyof, that there's no such thing in this world as hashkacha pratis? Tzadik viralo rasha v'toivlo. His basic argument here is that it's not so. There's no such thing as rasha v'tovlo. Study history. Look back at the olden days. Ultimately, the rasha gets what he deserves. And therefore, these enormous tragedies, ach, only Eila. Eila means these tragedies that come upon people only come upon Mishkinos Avol, the dwelling places of evildoers, of Rishoim. And basically what he's intimating to Eiv is, Eiv, you're a Rasha. You are a Rasha. If this is happening to you, there is no other way to explain this other than to say, you are the quintessential evil man. That's what you are. V'zeh makom lo yodakel, and this makom lo yodakel, this makom, meaning that you have to see really a precise translation. I forgot what it means. Lo yodakel. Let's see right away. Let's see what the Mitzvah says. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Achel Ratzlam Hine Latzadik, to a righteous person. Lo yikre kozos ach mikros koshke. The only time that such terrible tragedies happen. Boim al mishknos he avol. Here's the next word, ba. Now here's this part of the pasuk is difficult. Uchmo ze be'atzmo bo al hamokomish. And this uchmo ze be'atzmo. The ze means this. Ze is a repetition of ach eila. This repetition of the pasuk. Ze, these events, these tragedies. Comes upon the place of a Rasha who is a person, we were defining with three words, lo yodakel. Lo yodakel is equivalent to the word avol in the beginning of the pasuk. The pasuk repeats itself twice. It says, ach ela mishkenos avol, period. Vizeh, zeh means these terrible things, mikoim, come upon, you have to add a few words in the pasuk, they come upon the mokoim. The mokoim here is the equivalent of the word mishkenos. Lo yodakel is the Rasha. So there's a parallel. Ach ela parallels the word zeh. Mishkenos is a parallel to the word mikoim. And avol is a parallel to the word, to the words of lo yodakel. These tragedies come upon Chmozeb Yatzma Bo al Mokim Ish Lashloi Dakel, Rotzloimar, Hamakatze Bechachma, a person who is short in knowledge. Hamakatze Bechachma of wisdom, Ho'oise Huda Lodas Eselokim, a person who's Makatze Bechachma to know Hashem, a person who chooses not to study the ways of Kodesh Baruch Hu, he is deserving of punishment, and that is what is happening to you, Eliyahu, and that's what happens to the Rasha. So don't give me this business, that's Rasha of the Tovlo, it's no such thing. The Rasha gets what he deserves, and if you're getting punishment, you must deserve it. Okay, now he summarizes this entire perek, but we did this last week, we'll just do it again. Ho'ile Mehamanehahi. What is the summary of this 10th speech? By the way, this is the 10th speech that has been given. We have three friends, and we have Eif. So we have 3, 6, kind of how the whole question goes, but we'll see the next parak is that there have been 10 presentations made in this dialogue. There are three friends, and we're on the second round. Two of them have spoken. Two of them have spoken twice on the second round, and Eiv responded to each one alone. Okay, we have to go to the cheshbon that Eiv also he began.
He started out. Eiv had the first speech.
Right? He had the first speech. That brings us to a total of that's only 9. Wait, we have 3, 6, 7, 8, 9.
5, 9, and his answer will be 10.
His coming answer will be 10. Okay, I'm not. I'm really getting confused. Maybe there was more. Maybe Eiv spoke twice. I don't remember. Okay, we'll see. Ho'ele mehamanehahi. What is the summary of this response? Ki yashiv le'Eiv loymar. Bildad is responding to Eiv as follows. Shelo yoda ledvaroi. I disagree with your opinion. She'ein hamokam mashkiach bo'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not pay attention to the happenings of this world. Afki yitzak loymar. I disagree. Despite the fact that Eiv makes the claim that he's been punished for no wrongdoing, Eiv says, I've done nothing wrong, I don't deserve this. Bildad says, I don't believe you, you're wrong. And he brings a proof to the fact that there is indeed Hashkocha Pratis in this world. Study history, study the world, and you will discover that the evil people do themselves in. And their fall is so great, is so enormous, that there is absolutely no zecher to the Rishayim. Lo yikru came at tzadikim, and it's not true when it comes to tzadikim. Tzadikim, they live on, they survive, and their name is preserved for all generations. And if you're telling me, how could Eiv says, but how could it possibly be what you're saying is correct, but I have not done anything wrong and yet I suffer? Now it doesn't say this explicitly here. We have to assume that it's going back to previous discussions, the previous parts of the debate, but that Eiv is guilty because Eiv did not maximize his potential. Asha yishve lo ish, and these are very scary words. According to Bildad, a person is deserving of punishment for not maximizing his potential, equal to a person who does averos. So, a person does averos, we could relate. A person is a murderer. He causes other people tsar. We can relate. We can understand that he deserves to be punished. But a person who does not maximize his potential, it's hard for us to appreciate that he should be deserving of punishment. But yeah, that's exactly what Bildad is saying. There, two are the same. And Eiv, even though it may be true that you have not done any averos, the fact that you did not maximize your potential, that itself is a reason why you deserve everything that you are getting. And it's just the beginning. There's more to come. Okay, that concludes this. Let's see, Rashi pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Eilu Mishkanos Avel, Zeach Arisam. This is their due. They get what they do to people who are evil. Okay, so that pretty much concludes the response of Bildad. Now, Iyov response, Perik Yutes, Vayan, Iyoy Vayomar, Iyov speaks up and he says, Adona Togyun Nafshi. Okay, a new vocabulary, a lot of new words. New words. Adona, how long Togyun Nafshi will you cause my neshama Yogon, cause anguish? You're going to cause my neshama nafshi. You're going to cause my neshama to have anguish. U sedak u nani. Wait, you, which zemer are you referring to? So it's right out of Iyov. You see that? So it was kedai today to learn this pasuk. So now we know where it comes from. At ona toig yun nafshi, how long will you torture my soul? Usidak unani b'milim, will you crush me with words? Now, what exactly is that? By the way, Rav Schwab, I don't have the exact sources, but Rav Schwab, he makes many diyukim in this sefer to show that these discussions between Iyov and his three friends were not done alone. They were done in front of an audience, a town hall meeting. Okay, there was a debate, and it was televised. It was streaming online. And that's why the tsar, that Iyov, it makes much more sense. It's one thing when you have three friends coming to Iyov, and they're sitting shiva, he's sitting all alone, and he's on their three friends, they come and they give him musar. Okay, but it's another thing when you are rebuked in front of an audience. So there are many diukim in the way the psukim are written, b'loshen rabin. There is a flavor in the psukim that indicates that these debates took place in front of an audience. And when Iyov was put down in front of an audience and saying to him, you are a rasha, you have done the worst averos, you have not lived out your potential, fulfilled your maximum your potential, that's why it was that much more painful. Do you remember the debates between Obama and Romney? Remember the debate was the first debate when Obama was... Romney ran him over like a train flattened him. So it would be embarrassing if it was all alone in front of a few people. But the whole world was watching. It's a whole different madrega. And that's true here as well when it comes to Iyov, when his friends are just running him over and telling him, you Russia, Marusha, the crimes you've committed are beyond anyone's imagination. That's what he says over here. You're causing what? Friends like these? Who needs enemies? And ona toyu nafshi, how long will you torture my soul? Usidak unani vimilim, and crush me with words. The tongue is sharper than a sword. Words are more crushing than the sword. Let's see pasuk beis in the Mitzudot Stavit. Ad ona ad mosai tetzares nafshi, will you torture my soul? With sidku uosi, and crush me the imre kanta, with words of provocation. Look at the Mitzudah Sion says tugun meloshen yagon. Okay, Rashi loshen tuga. Tuga means also tuga means means. If I'm not mistaken, tuga means anguish. Loshen yosema de yagon, of weakening. Loshen tuga, to become disheartened. Okay, pasik gimel. Now here he says something important. Ze eser pa'amim tachli muni. It's already been 10 times. We've gone through this cycle of debates in front of the sea already 10 times. How long will this...
He said five.
He said five and they answered five. So it's all right. But it's a total of 10, told 10 presentations in this debate. Ze eser pa'amim tachli muni. You've already ashamed me 10 times. So the question here, you have a very good, main good point of Shram addressed that point, is why is it called a chlima when Iyov makes a presentation? It was one thing when the friends make a presentation which is to his detriment, and they accuse him of being a rasha, and they put him down, they insult him. Okay, we understand that's the chlima. But why is it called embarrassment when Iyov makes his, when he presents his side of the story? That why is that terrible? It says if they're not receptive, if the people that are listening are not receptive, that you have embarrassed yourself. you've said foolish things. If I tell you something and you look at me like I'm crazy, I basically have embarrassed myself. I have failed to succeed.
It's humiliating to me. He has to even go up and defend himself. The self-defense.
Just the promise of the self-defense also is also a claim. Okay, that's a good point. But certainly when you make a presentation, it's not accepted and it's rejected. And they look at you like you're crazy and you have failed to succeed to persuade them, to convince them to your side of the story. That itself is also called the chlima. Ze'eser p'yamim, it should be 10 times. Tachlimun, you have shame me. Lo sevoshu, you have no shame. Tahakuli, it's a very interesting word. Tahakuli means to treat me like a stranger. Yosef, when he saw his brothers for the first time, he recognized them. He treated them like strangers. So here he's saying to his friends, "What kind of friends are you? I have a friend. You from a friend. You have certain expectations. Here, you are treating me like a stranger." Let's have a pasuk gimel in the Mitzudos David. Ze'eser pamim. Until now, Eve has responded 5 times, and his friends have responded 5 times, with words of provoking words. You have shame. This is that they have refused to accept his side of the story, also counts as a shame. Lo sevoshu.
Rabbeinu use a similar expression. You have tested me. Is that
Esther Kamim? Is that there with that? Menasuosi. You've tested. Yeah, the word is not shame.
Oh, Hashem says
Tenasu. The other word was Hashem. You, like, I'm not sure.
So you use that
expression 10 times. Yeah, 10 times.
10 times.
Lo sevoshu, eich lo sevoshu lehois panim lemuli. How can it be that you're not ashamed to speak with chutzpah? Opposite me, v'tasu etzatzmechem kilu atem nochim. You've made yourselves as if you're strangers. V'zorim imenu v'lo yidatim osi. You make me believe like I'm a stranger. You don't know who I am. You speak to me in a way as if you don't know who I am. Brashi. Pasik Gimel Eser Pam Eser Parshios Yesh Adkan. We have 10 parshios until now. Tahakruli Tisnakruli. You seem like a stranger. Now the Targum doesn't say. Now Rav Shab does point out that this interpretation of there are ten parshios Yesh Adkan is a controversial interpretation, because as the Mitzudas acknowledged, the Mitzudas Hindu says, well, how could it mean 10 times? It's not called shame when you make. You present your side of the case, and when you argue, you go in front of the judge and you make your argument. That's shameful. That's not shameful. That's noble. You want to present your side of the story. So the Mitzvah says no. If you make a presentation and they don't accept it, you've shamed yourself. Not everyone agrees that with that interpretation. Of Shrab says, and if some other Rishonim, I don't know who, say me, that's just a figure of speech. The truth is, they've only spoken 5 times. But 5 already, in my eyes, is like 10. Because it's just a figure of speech that you've said things to me so many times, it's going on and on and on, there's just no end to it. It's as if you put me to shame 10 times. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. V'af omnam shagisi, iti tolin mishugasi. Great word here, my mishugas. Maybe you're right. Maybe you are right that I've committed a crime. I'm a Russia. I've done an aveira. But I'm not aware. It's tallin, iti tallin means that it's buried deep down within my subconscious. I cannot identify a sin. And therefore, now meshugasi means my error. A meshugas, we say a meshugas means he's crazy. That's not really what it means. Meshugasi means my mistake. Lashon of shugaga. Maybe you're right. Maybe I did commit, I did an avera, and the avera is a shugaga. But I don't know what it is. Whatever that avera is, it's iti tolin. It's deep, deep down within my essence. I am not aware, therefore, I'm not responsible. Therefore, I don't deserve that you should speak to me in such a fashion. Even if it's true that I am guilty, I still deserve the benefit of the doubt. I deserve some sympathy, some empathy. And this approach to attack me is not the right way to go. V'af amam, or maybe you're right, shagis, maybe you're right, I did an avera, but my friends, you have to realize it's not obvious what my sin is. Iti, within me, this word has a connotation that's deep, deep down, hidden within me. Tolin, is it resting? Mishugasi, my mistake, and I don't deserve you should talk to me in such a horrible fashion. Pasuk Dalit in the Mitzudos David. The Af Omnam, Af, even if it's true, Af im Efsha Shagisi, if it's true that indeed I have sinned. There's a safe over here. If it's really true that I have sinned, Shagisi, La Soy Sarah, I've done a crime. Haloi iti levat, within me alone, Tolin Mishugasi, does it rest my mistake? What's the Lemar? Haloi loi isim mimeni mu'uma ra. You have not seen openly anything evil that I have done. Ulam yochol liyos shasisi rabbeinu yilu bein atzmi.
That's
neah in secret. Umalachem olai. Therefore, how dare you? What is it upon you? Ki eich tuchlo ledas mister, that you don't have any ability or way to know my secrets. And therefore, basically, what he's saying is you have no right to talk to me in such a fashion. Ki Rashi says, im omnam. Now, I don't know what this Rashi means. I tried to figure this out. Im omnam, maybe you could help me. Im omnam, atem nosfim olai litzarasi. What?
You're adding salt to my wounds.
Oh, it's next. That's the next pasuk. I'm sorry. That's the next pasuk. Finally, okay. Let's go further. Pasuk Dalid. Ani hu alokeach makos al meshugasi iti tolin. Pasuk Rashi. Pasuk Dalid. Iti tolin. Ani hu ha lokeach makos al meshugasi. It is I that is receiving punishment for my mistakes. So what does that mean? What? How does that? I'm not sure what this means either. So how does that explain the Eov's response to his friends? I'm not exactly sure. Maybe we'll go further. We'll become clear. Let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey, Im Omnam Olai Tagdilu. If it's true that you want to prevail upon me, and you want to declare to me that I'm a Rasha, V'sochichu Olai Cherpasi. You have to prove it. V'sochichu me here means, it's not proper for you just to come and shoot from the hip. What are you doing there? You come and you tell me, Eev, you're a Rasha. If you're suffering, it must be you did an Avera, and therefore you deserve to suffer. If a person wants to make such an argument, you have to tell me what the Avera is. It's not fair just to come to a person and say, you're having a bad day, you're suffering. Mistama, you did something wrong. If you can identify exactly what my crime, then you're right. You have a right to come to me and say to me, that's why you're suffering. But if you cannot identify the sin, you have no right to talk to me in this fashion. The word visochichu means to prove. Tell me exactly what I did wrong. Or lie upon me, cherpasi, my crime, that my shame, the sin that I've committed, for which then I deserve to suffer. So the whole pasuk again, fullness means, im omnam olai tagdilu. If it's really, maybe you're right, maybe you do have a right, tagdilu, to prevail upon me. And in this context, it means to tell me you are deserving what you are getting, you deserve to suffer. Okay, there is such an approach. But, there's a big but. Tell me exactly what I did wrong. V'sechichu olai cherpasi. Tell me exactly, prove to me what I have done wrong. And if you cannot tell me what I have done wrong, then be quiet.
So I think that's what he said in Pasuk Dalet also.
It's continuation. Right, it's going backwards.
It's all in private, so you can't tell me.
Exactly. It's a continuation. It's in private, and therefore you have no right to it. So how does that fit into the words of Rashi? Rashi and Pasuk Rashi, the two Rashis. Pasuk Dalet.
I'm getting punished for my private.
I'm the one that's getting punished for my private sins. You want to add.
And he doesn't
even
know what they are.
Right,
but
I'm the one who's getting punished because they might be in private, so you have no right to
talk. Right, you don't know either.
You certainly don't know, and therefore you have no right to give
him what you Rashi, next Rashi. Atem noisafim olai litzarasi. You are adding to me pain. V'sechichoy olai cherpasi, and you are rebuking me for my shame. Marim u'mechichim cherpasi al ponai. You are displaying my shame openly to me. But Rashi is not really explaining. You have to really hear from the parish of the Mitzudos. What this means is that you have no right to rebuke me unless you know exactly what I've done wrong. And if you do not know what I've done wrong, you have no right to speak like this. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Hey. Mitzudos Pasuk Hey Imamnam. Asher ha'emes, ma she'atem magdilim olai avon, ki sechichu levar olai cherpas avoni, meroiv ha'machoiv, haba, umizeh tishbetu she'yesh bi avon rav. And therefore, if you're right, one more time, if you're right, im omnon, asher ha'emes, it's correct, ma she'atem magdilim olai avon, you are making great upon me my sin, ki sechichu, you are attempting to prove levarer olai cherpas avoni, to clarify the shame of my sin, meroiv hamichov, due to the intense pain haba that is coming upon me, umizeh, and from the fact that I suffer, tishbitu, you come to the conclusion sheyesh bi oven rub. Now the interpretation I told you is not what it says here in the Mizuzah. I told you probably came from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab, I think, if I'm not mistaken, says the way I explained it, v'sochichu, he means prove it.
Well, yeah. Mochiach could mean two things: one, to prove, and the other, to reprove.
Reprove, right, to rebuke, to criticize. The Mitzudos and Rashi seem to be taking the approach that it means to rebuke.
That's
rebuke.
Right.
The Rav Shrav, if I'm not mistaken, says here, from the context of these two psukim together, he tries to make sense out of these psukim in his understanding that you have no right to speak to me unless you know exactly, to take this approach and tell me that I'm a Rasha and I deserve to suffer, unless you can identify, you can prove what I've done wrong. And
well,
since...
But it could be also that he's saying, look, the only thing that you have is your reverse engineer.
Right.
I got
same idea. You're coming to a conclusion based upon the situation, but you'd have no right to do that. You have to go follow the steps. Okay, now Pasuk Vav is very scary words. These words really are apikorsis. You know, every so often Eof says words which, you know, you can play with. Is it really apikorsis? Is it words of frustration? These words really go to the edge.
Because of whose part?
Eof says words now which are really right at the edge. De'u eifo. These are, you shall know, eifo, however. However you shall be aware. Be aware of the following information. Now, de'u is a powerful word. De'u, the Mishnah Berurah, you know, the Mishnah Berurah, every so often, it's a very, very popular word in the Mishnah Berurah Chafetz Chaim. He writes, v'da. You shall know the following. You shall know for certain. He says it very often, v'da. No, I think he says that by Zohar and Zecher, by Parsha Zohar. Do you say Zecher, Timcha Zecher Amalek or Zecher Amalek? He goes, Vida. There is no way, we do not know what the correct Messiah is, and therefore say both, Vida. So here he says something very similar. Du'u Eifo. However you shall be aware, Ki Eloka Ivisani. Hashem has committed a crime. Mm-hmm. Hashem has done a crime to me. Hashem has done to me a crime, an avla. Umitsudo, and his trap. Olai hikif, he has encircled me. He has trapped me. He's basically criticizing openly in very explicit terms HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, I believe, is the most explicit...
Out of pain,
of course. So he said, he didn't say, I'm not responsible. Chazal say, Eof is not responsible because a person ain't adam nitfas b'shas tsaro. A person is not responsible for things that he does in a state of intense pain. But let's see what he says in the Mitzvah Pasuk Dalid, du'u, pasig vav, du'u hine, lo kainhu. Everything that you say, this accusation that I am a Rosh, that I've committed a crime, it's wrong. It's just dead wrong. Loikenu, ach du'u, be fully aware. Aye, du'u, where's it continuing? Ach du'u, aye po ha misvochichim imodi. Ayefa, where are the people who prove hamisvochichim imodi? Ayepo. Hamisvachichim imadi. Where are the people that rebuke me? I'm not sure exactly what that means. Ki eloka ma'avis mishpati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has corrupted my judgment. He has prevented me from a fair day in court, a day justice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prevented justice from me. Af rishtoy asher sivev alai lil kideni, he beivos, the trap that he has set, that he has spread around me, is also done with in injustice and corruption. Lo ba'avur avon ma, not because I've committed any real crime. He's very, very, very strongly criticized in Kodesh Baruch Hu in this pasuk. Rashi, pasuk vav, there is no Rashi. Next pasuk, pasuk zayin hein etzak. And again, these are very powerful words. Hein etzak chomos v'lo ye'eneh. If I cry out, chomos, I cry out, there is robbery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has robbed me of my life. He has robbed me of my family. He has robbed me of my wealth. V'lo ye'eneh. There's no one that answers. There's no one that will come to my defense. Ashava. If I cry out, ve'ein mishpat. There's no one that will take up my case. Eve is making a very powerful accusation that the world is corrupt. Less din v'less dayan. Pasuk ches. Orchi godar v'lo evar. My road has been closed up. I'm traveling on the highway of life, and there's a blockade. The road has been shut down. There's a barricade. The fence. Orchi, my path in life, godar, has been fenced up. V'lo yevar, I can't continue. V'al nisivo sai, and upon my path, another word for orchi, choshech yosim Hashem es cast darkness. Okay, let's look at these two words, psukim in the Mitzudos David, pasuk zayin hein etzak, hinei, ani tsoik al hechamos. I cry out about corruption. Hanaseli v'ein li mane. There's no one to respond. V'ein mishpat, ein li mishpat. Hagmul haroy. There's no way I can seek justice. Pasuk ches orchi negodar. Also geder bederech mahalchi. Hashem has erected a fence on the path of my life. V'lo uchalavar. I can't pass. Af sham. What?
Even concentration camp.
Maybe. Their life was cut off. The life was cut off. Af also saw Mesachoshech b'makom nisivasi. He has cast darkness on my road. V'lo'atzulema v'lo'ucha l'hashlim chefsi b'dvar min advarim. I can't accomplish anything in this world. Hashem has denied me of the future of my life. Rashi pasik zayin and zayin etzak al chamos. And if I cry out over the fact that there's corruption in this world, there's no one to answer. This is the accusation that Eve is making, and we'll leave it over with pasik. Tests. We'll stop here.
You know, I find interesting that despite everything that's happening, he doesn't lose Amun and Hashem. He
just says it's corrupt.
Right.
There is a Ribbono Shel Olam.
Exactly.
It's just that.
Loses the sight that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam.
Yeah, that's true.
Say they can't be
that's true. It's also Baal Madrega.
Can in the